Saw that his palanquin was being shaken by the carriers, he became very angry, and he said, "You rascal, what are you doing? Are you dead despite the life within your body? Do you not know that I am your master? You are disregarding me and are not carrying out my order. For this disobedience, I shall now punish you just as Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, punishes sinful people. I shall give you proper treatment so that you will come to your senses and do the correct thing." Hot sauce here. No purport. Next text translation. Thinking himself a king, King Rahugana was in the bodily conception and was not and was influenced by material nature's motive passion. Ignorance. Due to madness, he chastised Jerubbaal with uncalled for and contradictory words. Jerubbaal was the topmost devotee and the dear abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although considering himself very learned, the king did not know about the position of an advanced devotee situated in devotional service, nor did he know his characteristics. Jerubbaal was the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He always carried the form of the Lord within his heart. He was the dear friend of all living beings, and he did not entertain any bodily conception. He therefore smiled and spoke the following words. Srila Prabhupada's purport is Divine Grace. The distinction between a person in the bodily conception of life and a person beyond the bodily conception is presented in this verse. In the bodily conception, King Rahugana considered himself a king and chastised Jerubbaal in so many unwanted ways. Being self-realized, Jerubbaal, who is fully situated on the transcendental platform, did not at all become angry. Instead, he smiled and began to deliver his teaching to King Rahugana. A highly advanced Vaishnava devotee is a friend to all living entities, and consequently, he is a friend to his enemies also. In fact, he just does not consider anyone to be his enemy. Sudam sarva bhutanam. Sometimes a Vaishnava becomes superficially angry at a non-devotee, but this is for the good of the non-devotee. We have several examples of this in the Vedic literature. Once Narada became angry with the two sons of Kuvera, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, and he chastised them by turning them into trees. The result was that the latter were liberated by Lord Shri Krishna. The devotee is situated on the absolute platform. When he is angry or pleased, there is no difference. For in either case, he bestows his benediction. Om Yanta Maram Yasya Ginanjanam Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Kurave Namaha. Personally, I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master is kindly opening my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto him again and again. We appeal to everyone here, take a moment and offer a prayer to Lord Krishna. Please pray to Lord Krishna to bless us, that whatever we have to say here is only what we've heard from Guru and Shastra with no distortion and no inappropriate motivation. And we pray, although you can say a lot of things that are in accord with Shastra and Guru, we pray, please pray, that what we have to say here is exactly what we need to hear today. We invoke Krishna's spirit to enter us and speak the truth that will help us to go on in our devotional service. We do this, we repeat the words of Guru and Shastra, we come together to glorify the Lord as an offering to Krishna. Gathering here together, we're doing this for the pleasure of the Lord. And if Krishna is pleased, everything else is accomplished. So, an interesting exchange between someone who is an advanced devotee and someone who is not on that level of awareness applies to our life today. It applies to your life today. Today, we are meant to interact with people who have not come into the light of Krishna consciousness and share with them what we've received. as a natural chemistry. And so we are preparing ourselves to serve Krishna by speaking the word of God, by repeating what we've heard for the benefit of others. Excuse me. It is not for our personal edification. We do not maintain an attitude of holier than thou, some kind of condescending, arrogant posture. But we speak with love for the person we speak to and for the benefit of the person we speak to. And this is a very delicate endeavor. Sometimes people are not prepared to hear. The analogy is given if someone is in a dark room for a long time and someone turns on the light, it's uncomfortable. The adjustment of the eyes to the influx of the bright light is a surprise. And the person might think that this light is something unwanted. So we try to do this gently. And we ask Krishna to show us how to do it. If we think that we can preach without the grace of Guru and Shastra, then this is foolish. It's only by Krishna's grace. So we have here assembled devotees who are all of us in one capacity or another, interfacing with people, very similar to the exchange here between Maharaja Bhugana and Jadavar. So please, share with us what happened yesterday. Who did you speak to and how did they respond? I'm assuming you spoke to like 100 people. Yeah? 100 people. 100 Jadavar Maharaja Bhugana exchanges in one day. And you approached them, and what did they say?
Approaching,
no. Just let me, I've mentioned this before, my own realization of when I first started to be assigned to the service of approaching people, and I saw the devotees approaching people, my impression was that they are disturbing. Mm. Clearly, they are disturbing others. But then, I began to see devotees who were able to do it without disturbing anyone. And I was thinking, the way this person is doing, first of all, it's not effective. Second of all, it's just, you know, I don't think it pleases Krishna, even though they're trying. I mean, Krishna might be pleased by the endeavor. But there's actually a way to do it without disturbing other people. If you're getting that kind of response, we don't blame it on the other person. We want to learn how to do that without disturbing people. I mentioned this before. Seeing someone as far away as that door back there or further, coming this way, I would gesture or glance at them. And from that distance, while they're still coming, I would see a bodily, subtle, or very overt bodily adjustment, or the eyes turning, you know. They can't not look at you unless they know where you are. You already approached them from 25 feet away. And they already responded, please, don't talk to me. And if, when they get closer, you approach them, you're going to get that stuff, because they already told you. But if, from that distance, when you approach them, and they express the slightest little bit of discomfort, and you, even from that distance, say, okay, no problem, and they see that You perceived their discomfort. You responded to discomfort. You gave them the same freedom that Krishna gives them to go on with their nonsense, wasting their time, integrating frivolous activity. As long as they want to, there's this, and it's subtle, it's so subtle that all of a sudden they say, my God, that person saw that little movement of my head or that movement of my shoulders or the facial expression and respected it. And very often those people, when they get closer, they say, did you want to talk to me? Because they see, this is not somebody who's going to pounce on me. Sometimes you see devotees, the devotee is walking next to them, or standing in front of them. It's like so ridiculous, offensive, and ineffective. And other people see that. Well, look at that guy, he's bothering this person, he's bothering that person. And when they come to you, they're already ready to push you away, because they see that you may have enthusiasm, you may have sincerity, but you are trying to force them. There's no force in Krishna. We offer, they just take, they don't take, that's okay. We don't want to misdirect our enthusiasm to the point of causing disturbance to others. And I've seen devotees that all day long, they disturb people all day long. And I've seen other devotees that all you see is one amazing, beautiful exchange after another. But it's not that you don't approach everyone, but that you respect them, you know. And the purity, the love that you have for them comes across, right? Understand? So you had some people go like that, you know. I would say,
yes.
Something they, you know, that's just my impression. That happens sometimes. Sometimes they don't give you that clue, and then that will happen that day. Anything else? Of the 99 others, please.
I had a nice exchange with one Christian lady. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've noticed is, you know, sometimes you stop these Christians and you get that feel like as if you're talking to a devotee. You just get that
that
aura.
Of course.
You know, comes around and she, you know, interestingly she was like, I told her, you look really peaceful. She said, yes, because I have Jesus Christ.
Right. Me.
I said, wow, that's wonderful. That's something my Guru Maharaj does. He says, sometimes when he stops Christians, he'll say, if there was more people like you in the world, it would be a much better place.
Of course.
So he, right. So what she did was said, oh, you know, I'm going to offer a prayer for you. What's your name?
Wow.
So we stood there and we offered a prayer.
Together.
And I said, I'm going to offer a Hare Krishna for you. And I gave her some prasadam. And I said, hey, look, we offered this to God. And
right.
She said, oh, great. She took it.
This is good. You know, in the Bible, there's instances, we mentioned this before, but the angel Gabriel comes to Mary. You know that? Right? You heard that? The angel appears to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And what's
She's
the first
terrified.
Thing? What?
She's terrified. There's a religion.
She's terrified. Right?
For him.
What's the first thing he says?
Hey.
Don't be afraid. Right? Don't be afraid. On Samaritan, a lot of times I would come up to a vehicle and I'd catch that and I'd say, it's okay, we're the good guys. Identify yourself, you know. It's okay, we have to be some good guys, otherwise we're all in trouble, right? And they laugh. You know, so you have to identify yourself as a good guy because they don't know. There's a lot of weird people in this world. And we're born in the darkness, ignorance. We were one of those weird people, which means we have a weird way of looking at things, a weird way of acting, right? Even in the best, you know, it says the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah.
Right? So we have some good, and people see that also. There's other people coming in, they see this person is laughing and smiling, and what a beautiful thing is happening there, you know? And, you know, when you really get in the groove like that and you're talking to people one after the other, people are practically standing in line waiting to talk. I'll be with you in just a minute. I can only speak to one person at a time. Because, you know, they're attracted to that. It's attractive and it's beautiful. So we're meant to do this properly. Chitta Bhart did it properly. He didn't speak to his family members, even his father who was a Brahmin. He didn't speak to his brothers who were abusing him. He didn't speak to the, you know, walked around
in the public like a, some kind of dumb, ignorant, low-class person. But here he saw Marjorie Rugin, and so there's a sifting process because some people are not ready. And just like in the 12-step program, when you find somebody who's not ready, say, go ahead, drink. Don't worry about it. There's a, the Sanskrit term given by Bin Kunti is Vishnagirpa-prabhu. Akinchana-gocha. Materially exhausted. It's not an accident that somebody comes to you. They're born, they go to school, they grow up, they get married, they have children, they have a job, they have this other job, they have it. And then at one point, at an exact point in time, they come in contact with the devotee. And at that stage, you wind up, you should, the percentage of people that you're able to approach without disturbing go up. And the percentage of people that you are effectively able to engage and distribute will go up. You know, Krishna is teaching us, purifying us. when I first saw a picture of Srila Prabhupada, I thought he was arrogant. I thought he was puffed up, proud, because he's so dignified, sublimely, you know, elegantly aristocratic, beautiful. You know, I didn't understand somebody of that stature. But when I personally came into his presence and I looked in his eyes, I thought to myself, my God, this is a terrible person. I just took my breath away. When he looked me in the eye, I said, my God, what a humble person, you know? Wow, you know? So, Tirana Pisa Ichina, we know what Chaitanya said, thinking yourself lower than a strong tree, humbler than a blade of grass, taller like a tree. Devoid of all sense of false prestige, offering all respects to others. Sir, may I speak to you for a moment? You have to have permission before you speak to them. May I speak to you for a moment? And they say yes or no. They say no, okay, have a good day. And then they, oh, what did you want? They come back. They say, see, I'm not being, you know, on the subtle level, with the subtle body, some people, it's like a thing, like an octopus, they grab on you and suck you, you know, try to
die.
Grab you, and manipulate you, and exploit your energy, you know, like prana leeches, you know, like a leech. You know, just like, you know, so we were meant to be like that. They see your smile, they see your humility, they see your bodily posture, or they see you ready to jump on them, you know, and add them to your book score, or whatever, you know, right?
Add them to my book score.
One more feather in my cap, you know. That's like, you know, subtly, but horribly material and not pleasing to Krishna. How does Krishna act as a super soul in everyone's heart, allowing people to go for millions of births, allowing them, arranging for them their desire to eat the dripping blood flesh or abort their child in the womb or, you know, I mean, horrible things that he allows them to do, to enter the woman's dual body with them patiently, ever well-wisher, like the bird in the tree. Two birds, and one is like trying to eat the fruits of the tree, and the other bird is just sitting there, waiting for this agitated and distracted bird with all the ruffled feathers to look at him. We're here for you. Right? We were just out distributing prasadam the other day, and these two girls came on and they said, why are you doing this? What do you say? Because we love you. Right? We're doing this on behalf of our spiritual masters, this is a preaching mission. But they just want to know, are you, Prabhupada said that, he taught us like that. Love means I love you for you, not what I can get for you.
so startling in a world where even your own mother doesn't really love you with pure love.
Yeah.
On some level, she's expecting something from you. She's not just, she may be ready to, even if she's ready to die for you, she's still thinking, you know, she's going to, on a subtle level, get something from you. But, so there's, Prabhupada said, there's no love in this world. There's no pure love, right? So when you meet someone who's Krishna's representative, like the spiritual master, like the Sankirtan devotee, like the host at the Bhakti Center, who is actually there for you, and is satisfied in devotional service, and doesn't want anything from you. The way when Buddha asked his disciples to go out and beg, he told them, we need nothing. But we go and ask. Because by taking, we are giving. So we're not out there to collect, we're there to distribute. We're there to care for them. They're lost. They're drowning in their own mind. They're burning. Right? Senses are burning. You know? They're heading into suffering, and they're engaging in activities that will cause more suffering. So there's compassion. We don't envy them. We don't think ourselves better than them. For all we know, they're all more advanced than we are. You know, when we see them running up and down the street here in the East Village laughing, and we're thinking, wow, how wonderful is Krishna? Try to sneak that into the class at least once. Mm-hmm. How wonderful is Krishna that he's arranging this experience for them today, and in that exchange, they're learning something, or somehow or other growing closer to him in a beautiful way. Krishna is so gentle, so patient, right? And you are meant to be Krishna's representative. You are Krishna's representative. They use the term a bull in a china shop, you know? We are like a bull in a china shop. Our interpersonal skills are a bit crude, right?
In a china shop?
Huh?
What is it?
A china shop is a place where there's all kinds of teacups and glasses and things.
Oh.
And the bull goes into every movement he makes, is breaking something.
Oh my God.
Knocking something over.
That's
so bad. Yeah, so we're like that. Prabhupada said, even among the devotees, he said, you see like a litter of puppies. You've seen puppies when they're first born, their eyes aren't even open.
Yeah.
And they're crawling all over each other, stepping on each other's face. He said, that's what we're like, you know. In our immature condition, we don't know how to, you know, interact with other people without disturbing them, offending them, making them feel uncomfortable. But Krishna's teaching us. We're so lucky. Krishna's so wonderful. Prabhupada's so kind. Our spiritual master is putting us in a position. And this service that you're doing is so extraordinary. You know, it's a great tapasya, and it takes great courage and faith to do that, to approach that person, It's beneficial for the others because they're getting an opportunity to engage in devotional service. And also, you're becoming purified.
Yeah.
And you're becoming, Krishna's training you to become a person just pouring out love in every direction to everyone you meet.
When I first started, you know, like I would be very attached and have a very fruitive mentality.
Right.
You know, and like over time, as more detached as I've gotten, it's like totally calmed down. Like, even like yesterday, I was about to approach and we just get.
You can slip back and forth across the world in the course of one day. You have to wait, slow down.
Yeah.
Getting fruitive, you know.
When they say that, you know, get, you know, they say something, all right, you know, you keep going on, just go to the next guy, and you're just like, all right, no problem, you know. It's before, I'd be like, why not? And, you know, this, but now I'm just like, all right, dude, have a great day. You know, you keep walking by and you keep dancing, and you just keep going forward. You know, I found that to be like a very mode of goodness thing. It starts off as poison, but taste as
nectar,
happiness is
the way Krishna wants us to do it.
Yeah, it's a very purifying experience, very sobering experience. Be like a mountain.
We are ready to speak to one person all day long.
Yeah.
To listen. Oh, we're ready to just let them go.
And you know, they actually benefit just by seeing you out there. You know, sometimes you hear people out there, they go, who was that?
Yeah.
What are they doing? What do they want? You know, and that's good. They're asking a question, and Krishna will, in the heart, will give them an understanding.
Like, see them, you were walking to Whole Foods, and like someone was talking in Spanish, and then Caesar tried talking to them in Spanish. He said, what happened? I was wearing devotee clothes, and Caesar was, and they said, what is that guy?
Where is he?
Where is he from?
What's
he doing?
It's good. They benefit like that. They will learn that actually Krishna is using it in a wonderful way to benefit so many people. We have a great gift. They're something very valuable. And we don't want anything from them. It's an amazing posture to have. Please.
I think also, you know, doing something like that where you're trying to give, you know, bhakti in whatever form, it's actually like very purifying for the person giving it, and it's almost like necessary, you know, like...
Yeah, without that love, it doesn't work.
Yeah, but it's like just like chanting, like it's like medicine, almost. Like it's like I have to do it because, mm-hmm. like, it keeps me engaged, and like I know with in the big book of AA, like there's a whole chapter on working with others, and I wrote on each sentence for like 6 months to my sponsor.
Wow.
I would like meditate on each sentence and write it, and it was so amazing because I was so happy throughout the day because I looked at every single person and I was like, wow, this exchange is necessary for me to stay on my path, you know, and it's like, it just says over and over in there, like, how it's vital, like, it's so, so crucial for me to do that. Like, it's really self-serving. Like, we think it's, like, service, but it's totally self-serving, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Yeah.
Sweet. You know, sometimes you say something like, I'm not very good at this. Like, you know, even if you've been doing it for 20 years, you say, this is my first day. You know, and they, all of a sudden, they think, oh, okay, he's admitting that.
Okay,
I'm not, you know,
be patient
with me, I'm not very good at this.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. We're trying to, like, get to that, like the angel, you know, don't be afraid. It's okay, we're the good guys.
It's okay, we're the good guys.
Identify who you are, you know, because you see, then they see, he saw my discomfort level. He saw my apprehension. And he's responding to it. You know, they want to know that when they're communicating with a facial expression or bodily posture or, you know, a subverbal, you know, whatever they do, you know, that you are respectful and not coercive and you're not going to pounce on them. That was my first impression when I saw the devotees. And I was so fired up they would be pouncing on people. You know? And it's tricky because they've got a trajectory and they're going so fast in the wrong direction. But I've seen Sankirtan devotees, Chandra is a sannyasi contestable disposition. I was watching this one devotee. This is in Atlanta, Georgia, in the airport. And airports are intense.
Yeah.
You know, especially in those days, you know, now these days all kinds of people travel in the airport, but in those days, most of the people traveling a little more, you know, materially together, and, you know, these businessmen with their attaché cases. And, you know, I said to him, but how in the world do you ever stop these people? And he said, watch this. You know, he said, Krishna's showing us what to do. And this businessman came charging down with this attaché case. He was moving so fast.
Speed of light.
And this devotee, he let the guy go past him. And he went like this, sir! And then stopped him. Turned around. And when in order to turn around, he had to stop, you know. Then the devotee just turned around casually and said, sir, we were supposed to give you one of these books. You know, It was like, there was incredible, you know, conviction in his voice and authority, spiritual authority. But it was, it seemed impossible for that man to stop. He couldn't walk through a brick wall, you know. And he wanted to go past him. I was like, he said, watch it. He knew what he was going to do. Because Krishna gives you so much, spiritual intelligence about how to do it. You know, because you put yourself in that position. And he just went, sir! I used to listen to Muktikesh. I'd be working in the same shopping center area, you know. And all day long I'd hear, sir! Sir! You know, and it was like, he wasn't timid, you know. He was quite bold. Actually, you know, this may seem like the opposite of, like, you know, what I was saying, but the first time I saw Muktikesh, we were driving on High Street in Columbus, Ohio, and Papa Quinn said, oh, look, there's Chaturaj and Muktikesh, they're distributing. And it was like where the Ohio State University is. And this man had his wallet open like this, and Mukta had his hand in the man's wallet while I was talking to him. And the man was going, because he realized this guy has his hand in my wallet. You know, Muktikesh is like hilarious, you know. And, you know, I was like, what is he doing? But if you watch him, I mean, he makes people laugh in the most. And sometimes people would open up their wallet and you go, whoa, look at all that moolah in there. You know, no, the 20, you know. I was like, so funny. But I mean, like, but still, you have to understand that you might get the wrong impression. But they're doing it in such a beautiful and hilarious way that people respond very positively, you know, and they feel, and they have, you know, he would, you know, when you do something silly like that, he would at one point say, you know, anyway, he would even give the money back to him and say, listen, if you'd like to give a donation, this is a really nice thing. And then they would give it, and he'd say, you don't mind helping us? And they would say, no, thank you very much. It was like, but the degree of expertise that Krishna gives these devotees is just amazing, just incredible.
Yeah.
And it's also very, very funny.
Yeah.
You know, and the people love, they love it, you know. But
yesterday, as I started this gang, like, you know, having a great conversation. Like, when you meet someone, they know you just love them, and you're doing it for them and not for you.
Right.
I'm scared. And like, I gave him a book. I said, man, we asked for a donation. And then he took out his wallet. And I said, man, I don't have change. I said, man, I take 20s, 100 million, whatever you want to give me. He just gave me a huge donation, and he took a couple of books.
Right, they say the joy you're having, you're bold. How to mix that incredible forward motion you have, and then boldness with humility and concern for the other person's comfort level, and not at all considering, you know, really want to take anything from them. But some people, they like to play hardball, you know. You know, sometimes it's softball, you know, it's like a slow pitch, and sometimes it's hardball, which means that baseball is hard, you know, baseball is very hard. And some people, they actually relish, you know, somebody who's strong and clear about, you know. Mukta sometimes would say to people, sir, do you realize what you're doing? You're acting so nervous, you're making me nervous. You know, some of the things he would say, you know, and it would bring people out of the ridiculous things that they're doing, you know. And he just learned to speak directly and clearly with detachment, you know. And, this was little things like saying, listen, you know, I don't get paid to do this. We're here on your behalf. You know? This is something genuine. This is for your benefit. When you do this, this will help you. It will help you so much beyond your dreams. You know, please try to understand. You know, Prabhupada would say like that, please try to understand. You know, it's such an amazing exchange. We're talking about this exchange between Maharaja Hugana and Jedabar. And I just love watching people distributing. We used to do videos of it, you know.
Oh,
you see, like, Vaisheshika, my God, you know. He was so
sweet,
happy and beautiful and joyful in what he's doing, and he's distributing, you know, Pagosh. 45 years he's distributing books. He's right now he's distributing books of the Rock and said through today. Pagosh, you know.
I know, I've heard of him.
He's a legend in his own time. Matura is up there now distributing now already. They're out there already. They went out the door at 7 o'clock in the morning. Matura was staying with us on 3rd Street.
Right.
You know, three or four more cases of books were just delivered yesterday over there. And he's doing 120 books a day on a regular basis every day for the last 2 years. What?
How many hours did he go out?
He leaves in the morning like 7:38, comes back about 7 o'clock at night.
12
straight hours, you know, I'm joking about,
yeah.
You know, some serious tapasya.
Yeah.
And with great joy, you know. And some people, they don't even know this species of life exists.
Yeah.
You know? When they first asked me to come to New York, I was on traveling secretary from New Bedouin. I started working this one place in the South Bronx, which is a very heavy neighborhood. There were a lot of, like, you know, instead of seeing cigarette butts on the ground, you'd see, like, hypodermic needles, you know. People would pull into the parking lot, and they would put a clamp on their,
steering wheel.
What do you call it?
Steering
column, you know, and they would put their alarm on. Before they put the alarm on, some of them would open the hood, take the distributor cap off the car before they look like the alarm. I mean, it was just one of the neighborhood, you know. I've had police officers in that lot come up to me and say, "Do you realize where you are? Do you have any idea where you are?" You know, people would say, "Where are you from?" You know, it was like really like, you know. But I found that, you know, that it was wonderful. And I would work there like 8 hours a day distributing for, you know. So people, they need it, and if it's done properly, it's beautiful. And if it's not done properly, Krishna's pleased by your endeavor, but we want to refine our, you know, understanding of how, what will please Krishna and please Krishna more, to the point where we don't get a lot of those people being disturbed. And when they're like that, we wish them well, you know. Besides Stai Baba in Cleveland used to, we were working this one lot, and there was a slaughterhouse on one side and a brewery on the other side of this one shopping center. You could smell the blood, you know, from the slaughterhouse. It was just so horrible, you know. And sometimes I would hear him going, "Jerk," you know, "Jerk," you know, when somebody would be acting. But then another devotee said to me, "Boom, he's an unfortunate condition, so we don't want to respond to them like that, you know." And we've seen that devotee softening his perception of, like, you know, what happens when somebody doesn't know how to respond to these words. But we take responsibility if there's any disturbance. We don't think it's their fault. We think we have not been sensitive enough and Krishna conscious enough to approach them nicely. We could talk unlimitedly on this subject. So go out and watch the devotees distribute. I see what's his name? Puttaman, he was in the restaurant last night. I've seen him talk to like 10 people at a time. You know, when we work these events, like the football games, you know, there's like 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, people drinking beer and roasting some dead thing, you know. And you go, when you talk, you can't just talk to one of them because they're all just kind of in a huddle, you know. And you explain to them what you're doing. And when there's a gang of them like that, sometimes you think, well, I just can't possibly. But on Krishna's behalf, we go and we speak, and surprisingly enough, Krishna, you chose how to engage them nicely.
Yeah.
You give them a chance.
If one guy gives, all of them give.
Yeah.
If one gets, that's all.
And we actually either verbally, out loud, or subtly before before we approach each person, we have the understanding, I have no qualification to speak to this person. I'm here on your behalf. The Prabhupada says, let me dance as you like. You know, show me how to care for them. It's a beautiful movement, and it's a wonderful, exciting adventure. Any other questions or comments, angles of vision, please.
Sometimes somebody will be passing by and they look at the Hari Nama Party, so you have a sense they have some interest, and you notice that interest, and you offer something, and then but they don't want it, you know? But,
right.
But it's sort of like, so they're giving you two messages, like, I'm interested and I'm not interested.
Of course.
How do you consider
that? Our service is to offer it to them. And they may take it or they may not, you know? And just how did they take it? And just to see that they accepted the fact, that you accepted the fact that they're apprehensive and respected it, is very important. You have no force.
Thank you.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu Ki Jai.